Worship Him.
One of these was on my desk. I didn't know whether it got brought in here or not, but I see that it is here now. Any of you brothers know where Brother Sister Wiggins lives? Is there anybody? I think they live out toward Three Point somewhere. How many of you know who I'm talking about? Anybody? Yeah. And they've been quite sick. He's got some bad stomach pains. And worse than that, both of their cars are broke down. Brother Robert, see me after service. We'd like to see if we can find them tomorrow and get them some help. Maybe we can get hold of Brother Daniel and he can go out there and help you with their cars or something. But we need to check on these dear people. They're very faithful in church.
Amen.
And when they're not here, something's wrong. And they live on a pension, and I know that it's check to check to check. So they're part of us, and she left a message on the machine about this. Said that's the only way we got this. I don't know when it came in, but both of their cars are broke down. Another one is Brother Emily Bernhardt passed away yesterday. How many of you remember him? Well, it's been 16 or 17 years since they came to church here, but his daughter called and wanted to express to myself how much his dad talked about him and loved him. He was a brother, I think, was associated with the Trailer Park Group, and he was rather stocky. He wasn't, well, you can call me fat, but you couldn't call him. But he was stocky and short, and his wife is okay, and she's taking his death okay, but we told him that we'd remember him, and I think the daughter's name is Elizabeth. Yeah, that's what it says here, and was very appreciative of that. So if anybody happens to recall him, remember, maybe Roseanne would probably know him. So did he leave an address or anything, or just a phone number? Who took this in the office? Sister? Oh, Sister Brown, did you leave a phone number? Well, I don't see one on this prayer request. It was called in. There's nothing here. So maybe there is something that we can contact them with, but we need to remember them. How many of you tonight believe that God answers prayer?
Amen.
I don't know, but the song that they sang this morning, "You Can't Ask Too Much of My God." I used to have that on a cassette in my pickup, and when I used to drive it all the time, I heard that, and I don't know the times that song's been a blessing to me. You just can't ask too much of my God. I think of the thing when Brother Brown talks about the little fish swimming in the ocean, and he says you might be careful, you might overdrink the water, you know, might run out. That's the way it is with salvation. Praise God, my sins are gone.
Amen.
And then Wednesday night we had that tape, Thou Knowest All Things. How many believe he does know everything?
Yes. Amen.
There's nothing hidden from him. There's nothing kept back from him. And then Brother Branham using Hezekiah the way he did on that tape. I don't know how long it's been since you thought about Hezekiah or know that, but you know, us in this message, God has given us an opportunity to have experience with some of these things. I think of Lazarus. His sister said, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. But then Jesus said, I am the resurrection life, and your brother shall live again. And then we're told in the scriptures that there was a time when there was a banquet, and Lazarus was there.
Yes.
How do you think those people felt? Looking over there, you know, that guy, he was dead so long, they said he stunk. And yet he was there. Now we know just from natural thinking that the time came along that Lazarus died again. And we still have the same promise. He will rise again.
Amen.
Now, there's a possibility that if he died before the resurrection of Jesus, he may have come forth in that bunch. But I tend to think because of his age that he probably slept through that resurrection, and he'll be in the resurrection that the people in my generation are in. How many believe in that resurrection?
Amen.
And then this with, you know, when we had Brother Earl Midcalf here preaching. I don't know if any of you remember or not, but I introduced him, and I call him the Lazarus of this message. I mean, here's a man that was so sick, so ill, working for the FBI, was so well known among them that they had a pool in the office of gambling and betting which day he would die. And he survived it.
Amen.
And you know, now then the doctor says he's disgustingly healthy. And I've thought of that a lot of times. You know, he has probably outlived those guys who bet on his death. And to me, he's like a Lazarus. Every time I see Brother Earl and every time I think about him, I think of him, you know, that's the same God we serve.
Amen.
Yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I see Brother Dave Green here with us tonight. And I mentioned to him in the office a while ago about Hezekiah. You know, by the way, congratulations, Brother Dave, on a year. You know? And that brought to my mind when I was talking to him a while ago how did Hezekiah feel when a prophet walked in there and said, you're going to die? And I think Brother Branham made some statements like, well, he humiliated his own prophet. He turned his face to the wall, and Brother Branham said he negotiated with God. I don't think Brother Branham used the word negotiated, but he reasoned with him. Now, Lord, I've done this and this and this, and I'd like to do this and this, this, and I need time. And so God told him 15 years.
Right. Yeah.
And didn't use the prophet to tell him that necessarily. It was just something he had in his heart. But then I've thought a lot of times about Hezekiah. After he'd been back the first year, what do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I got 14 more to go, or you reckon he even thought? But you know, when 12, 13, 14 came along,
right.
He remembered how close he was to it. He actually did more negotiating with Almighty God than Abraham did about Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham got down to 10 men 50, 40, 30, 20, 10. But Hezekiah, he reasoned with the Lord, and Brother Branham said, first of all, you got to have a purpose. Why do you want to be well? Why do you want to be restored? Why do you want to be out of debt? Why do you want God to bless you with this better job?
Amen.
What's our motive for it? Now, how many of you got an unspoken prayer request? You believe God knows what that hand means.
Right.
And I know we've said it a lot of times, but that's a supernatural request.
Right.
That's against gravity. You by this you said, I have a need, and I believe God can answer that need.
Yes. Amen.
Let's stand and sing Have Faith in God tonight with it, huh? Brother Wilson, will you come pray tonight? Have faith in God.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, the song said, have faith in God. The scripture declares to us, have God's faith or God's kind of faith. And tonight, Lord Jesus, you said in your holy word, if we call, that you would answer. You said if we'd ask, we'd receive. If we seek, we'd find. If we knock, the door will be open. And oh, Lamb of God, tonight, there's numerous requests here tonight. There's requests that we're not aware of because of a hand that was lifted up. But there's not a hand that was lifted up, but what you know what was under that hand. You know the need, Lord. You know maybe there's someone, their heart is hurting. Maybe their spirit is broken. Maybe there's been a dream that's been broken, or Lord, something has happened in their life and it looks like, Lord, what can I do now? But oh, Lamb of God, I remember, Lord, your life for those 3.5 years in your ministry. Oh God, when you went about, Lord Jesus, and the scripture says that you went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You went about, Lord, and there was the blind eyes that were opened, the deaf ears that were unstopped, the lame that were made to walk, the dead that was raised. Oh God, the sinner man, the sinner woman, that you forgave them. So Lord Jesus, now there's nothing represented under every hand tonight but what you're aware of. So we bring each request to you, Lord, and we appeal before your courts. Heal the sick tonight. Save the lost. Reclaim the backslider. Perform the miraculous. Do those things, Lord, in the Wiggins family that you need to be done. Oh God, there's another family here tonight, Lord. They have needs. There's someone tonight, their heart is hurting, but Lord, you can minister to them. So we bring them each one to you, Lord, like a choir tonight. And oh, may the moans and the groans and the tears and the weeping and the sighing, may it come up in your presence and bring you down among your people. And may there be rejoicing in the camp one more time because of what you're doing among your children. We offer the prayer on the wings of faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
And everybody says amen.
Amen. Amen. Remain standing just a moment. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's sing that chorus, Just Another Touch, Lord, from Thee. Oh, just another touch, Lord, to help in hard trials I go. I saw Brother Nathaniel Johnson in the office just before I came in here, and he never asked for this, but I just feel like he needs another touch tonight.
Amen.
Brother Nathaniel, would you just step out now back there, and we're going to have the four or five brothers back there. Such as they have, they're going to give to you. They're all younger than you are. And we're just going to take some of that light of life from them that Brother Branham said we all have this number of x-rays in us. And we're going to just extend that to Brother Nathaniel tonight, because I know that he desires to live and be of service to you folks. And I could tell he's moving rather slowly tonight. So how many of you believe tonight?
Amen.
Yes, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we believe tonight. We confess that. Let thy Spirit move. May we open our hearts to it. Lord, I. Everyone may be seated except the Gladwells. Brother, Sister Betty, do you have that picture tonight that Ronnie and Sue brought this morning? Did you take it home? Have you seen it? I want to ask you, Brother George, do you believe that was the presence of God?
It wasn't my presence.
We made a trip to Sunset Mountain here a few months ago. And George and Betty went with us, and they were up on top. And, of course, Sue took some pictures of George and Betty, and they were standing there, and there's a beautiful rainbow between the two of them. It does not run off of the edge of the picture. It's just there, and Brother George has got his hand like this looking at it. And when I saw it this morning, just something witnessed in my heart. That they had stood in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
And God had made himself known. Now,
amen.
It's not one of those things that's a double exposure or something. It's just that perfect color of the rainbow between Betty and George. And did you get the frame I brought tonight? I want you to put it in that frame. Or did you get it yet? Newton's got it in his hand. And I'd like for you to frame it and bring it for everybody to see it. I believe that. I want you two to know that Brother Green, the Spirit in me, bears witness that that was the presence of God with you two.
Amen.
And take courage and strengthen that of all the places for it to happen, Brother George, stand there where we know that seven angels came and made themselves known to a prophet.
Amen.
God bless you. You believe it?
Yes.
All right, amen. Take strength and courage from that then. All right, I think we've got some special singing tonight. Or I should say we're going to have some singing. You just, Brother Dave bred it into these girls, and since Christy's here and she married Scott and he loves to sing, even with Lawrence Roth. Get those two together and you really got somebody who wants to sing. So they want to bless us in song tonight. And you going to sing with them some? Oh my. They've even got Sister Green woke up tonight. So, you know, let her sing today while she's young. Tomorrow she's going to be 74. She's not embarrassed about it. She's proud of it. You know?
Amen.
I can remember a time when she didn't want to be an old woman. And she's not an old woman. I think she gets along pretty good, don't you folks? If I could surprise her, I'd have a birthday party. But I appreciate all the cards and everything you've already sent her. But see, I bought her a new doll. She bought the doll. See that? She went and bought herself a doll for me to show you folks this morning. So, how many of you are not here this morning to see my Sister Green's new baby? Okay. Well, it's a nice one. It'll talk to you. Baby talk. All right. Who's going to sing first? Who's in charge of this thing? Brother Dave, why don't you... Hey, let me give you an opportunity tonight to come and witness to us once again what God did for you. I challenged him a while ago to know who did the negotiating with God about this. And he tells me Chris did it. So that's a wonderful testimony. Brother Dave, you need a lollipop here? You want this one or which?
That's fine.
You want this one?
Yes.
I trust it works. I got it off of Johnny's desk.
There you go.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. You look great. How do you feel?
I feel good.
Good.
Yeah.
New organs? New heart, new brain?
You're going to take my testimony.
I do that all the time, Dave. I'm sorry.
He's hoping I've got a new brain.
I just had to choke myself to keep from saying he already stunk.
I caught that. Yeah. He wasn't pointing, but I got the hint. What do you want to do? Yeah, let's do that. Let's do... have you got me some words? Somebody's got some words? Before, I couldn't hardly walk, so I hope everybody sees an improvement.
Amen.
Got it? Well, we'll take it out on everybody here tonight. Thanks for putting up with us. I always appreciate Brother Green. He's always opened his church up to myself, my family, and I appreciate the spirit, appreciate the man, appreciate his family, and just the great opportunity to come before you. It's like David said, be in the house of the Lord. You know, I want to make known his praises. And,
yes.
And I want to praise him tonight. So if you're not having a good time, just come on up here and sing with us, all right? If you'd rather sing than be entertained.
When Moses with Israel came to the Red Sea, the Lord said, have courage. I will not forsake you, I'll hold your hand. There's a way to cross over to Canaan's fair land. There's a way to cross over. Before us, many trials here we face. We're
tempted and tested.
And we're tested.
Want to
give up the race. Oh, but thank God I hear Jesus whisper.
Oh,
all evil.
bad for a dead man, is it? I'll never forget the doctor. He told me, he says, son, he says, you probably won't be able to talk again. And I thought, my, you know, you're just laying there in the bed with a bunch of tubes down your throat and in your nose and all in your arms and just standing back and hear the testimony of what the doctor says. And Brother Branham said, you know, that you take that sixth sense. We're born in a world where five senses are all we have to live with, to do battle with. And then one day we come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And then one day we come into the filling of the Holy Ghost, and He gives us His Word. And that Word teaches us that we don't have to live in this world anymore. There's a place that we can cross over, and we can get into Canaan's fair land, but we're going to have to fight for every inch of ground. Everything you ever want in your life, you're going to fight for it. Brother Branham said you're going to have to rip it out of Satan's hands. Now, Jesus already won the battle. But now let's see what you do with it. What you do with the God in you. Speak, O great one. Let's do that. Have I got the words to that? I love this song, and but we've never sang it before. The only one you have. I'll come down there. I appreciate the extra green, sister. She's just one more year away from being 18 again. Amen. Amen. Oh, how many times must I prove how much I love you? Oh, how many ways must my love for you I show? How many times must I rescue you from trouble for you to know just how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning? You were clothed in your right mind by the grace of God. When I walked upon a problem, oh God, step right in on time. I put How many of you woke up in the right mind? Brother Branham said you were insane until you got saved. How many people are not saved tonight? Anybody here? Because if you're not saved, you're insane. Isn't that crazy? It is.
Amen.
You guys tell me.
For Sister Green, no one ever cared for me.
Sister Green. Amen. I love Sister Green. How about you? Isn't that the truth? I'll tell you what. You haven't a clue of what she's gone through. I think, you know, I'm glad that Brother Green's around sometimes, because I've learned how to sympathize with Brother Perry, because I have to put up with myself. Guess what? You have to put up with yourself. But then our wives get to bear all the blunt of all our greatness and all our stupidities and all our problems and all of our battles. And this is one that has stood in the midst of it all. This is for Sister Green. You gonna do it with me? I would love to tell you why I think of Jesus, how I found in Him a friend so kind and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. So that was good. I'm glad she said that. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank God. He said that by our testimony, He said, by the testimony of the man of old and by the blood of the Lamb, They overcame.
Yes.
And the prophet of God said, how much more by the blood of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
And our testimony.
Amen.
We know what the testimony of Moses was. We know what the testimony of Abraham. We know the testimony of Lot. We know the testimony of David. What's your testimony? What's your testimony?
Amen.
And when you think about it, it isn't upon your testimony that I'm going to make it in. This is an individual walk.
Yes.
You can come to church every day of the week and die and go to hell.
Yes, sir.
You believe that?
Yes.
You can be filled with the Holy Ghost and die and go to hell. That's what the prophet said. Isn't that amazing? So what is it? It's the fact of being filled with the Holy Ghost and believing the Word. Because there's anointing on a man and there's an anointing that goes into man. I'd rather have the one that goes into him.
Yes.
You know how you know that you got saved? Because you believe the Word of God for your hour.
Amen.
If you'd have lived in the days of Noah, you'd have gotten in the boat.
Yes.
If you'd have lived in the days of Moses, you'd have entered into the promised land. If you'd have lived in the days of John the Baptist, you'd have believed John the Baptist.
Yes.
That's simple.
Yes.
In the days of Paul, if a man had a camera, in the days of Paul, and he was standing in a bush, hiding by the going to Damascus, he would have seen a man standing and a pillar of fire hanging over his head. And he'd have taken a photograph if he had a camera back then.
Yes.
And guess what it would have looked like?
Right.
Brother Branham said that that pillar of fire came to the first church age messenger.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if we could have taken a photograph of it, it would look just like the one that came to the seventh age.
Amen.
And that pillar of fire said, my name is Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Brother Branham said, no Jew would have ever called that pillar of fire Lord. That's true.
Amen.
Now, think about God and His grace, and then think about where you're at tonight. I look at where I'm at tonight, and God give me a couple of things to share, and I appreciate Brother Green giving me the opportunity to share it. In Psalms 86, verse 10, and if you've got that ready, and it says, for Thou art great, and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone.
Yes.
For Thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Thy truth. Unite my heart to fear Thy name.
Amen.
I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify Thy name forevermore. For great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set Thee before them. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and graciousness,
yes,
long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give Thy strength unto Thy servant, and save the son of Thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because Thou, Lord, hast holden me and comforted me. And then we've got, I believe it was Isaiah, if you have that one. For thus saith the Lord, the High and Lofty One. Yes, read right here. For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.
Yes.
The Lord said that He loveth those that be of a broken and a contrite spirit.
Right.
Not a heady and high-minded spirit, Who is it that can answer God one question out of a thousand? That's what he asked Job. What is he asking you today? Trust me.
Right.
Believe me. Amen. We've been raised in a world of five senses. We've been taught all of our life to trust our taste, our touch, our hearing, Amen. Our smelling, our eyes,
right.
What we hear, what we see. These things have been implanted in us, and we took life 101. And now all of a sudden we have to take faith 101.
Yes.
Now, if you had to pray over your plate without any food on it, and it might come to that soon, it's a thing of bearing one another's burdens. And how many burdens do we want to bear? Not very many. If we want to really be truthful about it, we'd rather not have any problems. If I had tests and I could pick my own test, I'd sure pick different ones than what I go through. You would too. If I could pick my trials, I would take different trials. But the trials that God gave me, I was sharing with Brother Green, the trials that he gave me, my wife had to do the negotiating for those trials. I ended up with a heart attack and ended up dying in the hospital for 23 minutes. And I appreciate the testimonies that have come back from the tapes that Brother Green has given out. People around the world, I've had probably just in conversation 50 to 60 people that have shared that they've given the tape out to their loved ones. People have been healed of heart attacks. People have been healed of cancer. People have been healed of multiple diseases. And the greatest is the disease of the soul.
Yeah.
And over 45 or 50 have rededicated their lives. Several have given their heart to God.
Amen.
Now, what is it that our testimonies have, along with the blood? They make us overcomers. Now, if you're overcoming, you're going to overcome it one word at a time. It's like my wife, when I died, she says, honey, she says, I haven't told anybody what took place. And she just told me a little bit about it the other day, and I won't take any of that and say it. I'll leave it for her to say if she cares to share it. But it was the fact of the doctor saying he's dead, pull the plug. And my wife is saying he's alive and he's going to walk out of this building. Lord, I claim him.
Yes.
She stepped out of this arena and she stepped into the kingdom of God. We simply pray, Lord, as it is on in heaven, let it be on earth.
Amen.
And we pray the Lord's Prayer. Well, how is it in heaven? Anybody got an idea how it is in heaven? Let's see, there's diseases, there's cripples, there's pain, there's bills due, there's leaky faucets. Is that in heaven? Well, he said, let it be on earth like it is in heaven. So what kind of a world do you live in?
Right.
And if you're not living in one that's in heaven, change your testimony. By the words of your mouth are you condemned, and by the words of your mouth are you justified.
Yes.
So it's kind of like the fact of, what are we doing with our mouth? We're testifying.
Yes.
And what is it that we testify of? Do we testify of the love of God? Do we testify of the greatness of God? Here we have a God that all things are possible. We sing the song, Only Believe. All things are possible. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen.
Think about what trial you're going through tonight. Everybody stop for just a second and think about what you personally are going through. And then think to yourself, am I in heavenly places with this? Did I embrace the lawsuit that come in the mail? My wife says, what are you going to do with that? They want to sue you for $1,700,000. I said, where's it at? And I ran over and I grabbed that piece of paper. And I just put it up to my chest and I just hug it. And she says, what are you doing? I said, I'm embracing it. And she says, I said, I'm not going to fear that thing. And the Lord's been fighting the battle. And then another one comes in the mail. While one yet spake, Job. You think about it. When does Satan always come to you? When you're on your highest level? When you're just kind of mediocre? No. He comes and he'll take the very, very glory of God, try to rob it out of your soul. And he'll always come when you're really having a good time. And so you can just figure this out, that every time I'm going to have a good time and I'm going to have fellowship with the Lord, something's going to come up. But how do I respond to it? Thank God. I asked my wife, I said, what on earth possessed you to call me back? She said, God. I thought, well, if you're going to be possessed by something, that's a good thing to be possessed by.
Amen.
And so the kids, the same thing. What are you guys claiming? And a brother said that he preached on the sovereignty of God. And he said, I saw the sovereignty of God in action when a brother was dead. And I saw his wife stand and say, I don't care what you say. I don't care. My husband's going to walk out of this hospital.
Amen.
My husband, the organs in his body, they said my organs were dead. My heart dried up like a tissue paper, like a piece of napkin. It dried up. There was no heart. It was filled with blood clots and plaque. Guess what? It all disappeared.
Amen.
There is no plaque. And guess what? I didn't know. I thought, man, boy, the doctors are really great. They got stuff that removes plaque. And they got stuff that removes blood clots. And the doctor says, we don't have a thing for that. So I asked him, I said, what did you guys do? I don't have any scars. What did you give me? He says, son, don't you get it? We didn't give you anything. You died. And your heart died. And it turned to tissue paper. And it would have exploded had any pressure been on that heart at all. So God had to give me a new heart.
Yes.
Not bad, huh?
Amen.
How many would like to have your wife stand by your bedside when you're dead? What would she say? Thank God. I wish she turned around and she says, Lord, give him the organs of a 30-year-old. The doctor said his kidneys are shut down. The organs are dead. He's not going to be able to move. He's not going to be able to function. Might as well just pull the plug. My wife says, you know what, doctor, it doesn't matter. He's going to walk out of here anyhow.
Yes.
Now, somebody got a hold of God. Think about the battles that you face. And tonight, if you could change the way the scene is in your life. How many of you would like to be tried with prosperity? Lord, just test me. I can handle it. Give me 3 or 4 million. Oh, you think that's a blessing? Trust me. You haven't a clue of what you're asking for. You haven't a clue. And then the battle comes. And then you think, oh, dear Lord, let me be poor again. And it's a story like the man that carried riding on the donkey, and people criticized the old man riding on the donkey. Remember the story, anybody? Remember the story about the old man riding on the donkey? And the little boy was walking. They said, how terrible that old man riding that donkey. And the little boy is walking. So the old man got off the donkey and he wound up, he put the little boy on. And then people said, well, look at that. Little boy's riding on the donkey and they're making that old man walk. So the two of them got on the donkey. And then people turn around and says, my goodness gracious, says there's two of them on that poor little old donkey. And so the two of them wound up putting the donkey on a stick and they carried him. In then people turn around and say, look at that. How stupid. Carrying a donkey when somebody could be riding it.
Think about it.
Is right. It's kind of like the fact of what is it that you get criticized. I can't hardly live my own convictions, much less yours. I found that out to be true. I mean that. It's kind of like the fact of, hey, I do have a walk with God. And that walk with God is going to take you through. It's going to take me through.
Amen.
The promises that God has given us, there are promises if we'll claim them. Yeah. Brother Branham said, you're going to have to do battle with Satan and take out of his hands whatever it is that you want. Anybody here got a financial need? Yeah? Anybody got a loved one?
Amen.
Ooh.
Amen.
I got news for you. Which is greater for God to do? Heal the sick or save a soul? No. Guess what? Isaiah 53:6. I was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, and by my stripes you're healed. He did it all at the same time. So it's kind of like the fact of, okay, which is greater now? Well, let's see. How many times do you doubt your salvation? How many times do you doubt your healing? You think about Jehovah Jireh and the seven redemptive names of God. And what's the Hebrew word for he's the God of my refrigerator? He's the God of my gas tank. He's the God of my automobile. He's the God of my clothes closet. He's the God of my house. What do you want him for tonight?
Amen.
He said, I'll be everything to you. So for my wife to claim healing for Dave Green, it was simple. You know why? She's part of me.
Amen.
And that's what she wanted.
Yes.
I'm glad that she turned around and she said, you know, Lord, I'd like to have my husband back.
Yeah.
I told her, I said, why? I said, next time I go, I said, just let me go. You know? She says, oh, I wind up, I'll tease you a little bit. Call you back and forth here. You know? It's a thing to where it's like when you think about it, we come down to the altar and we kneel down and here we are and we sit right here and we go, dear God, deliver me. Dear Lord, deliver me. Oh God, deliver me. Be merciful to me, oh Lord. Deliver me. And we get up. And we walk back to our seats and say, boy, I wish God would have delivered me tonight. And you come back next week. Brother, would you pray for me? Brother, would you pray for me? Brother, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me, Morgan? Would you pray for me? Brother Green, would you pray for me? Brother so-and-so, would you? Brother Bram said, every time you do that, he says, you weaken your faith. One time. You pray, and guess what you do? You claim it.
Amen.
And you believe it.
Amen.
It's a simple deal.
Amen.
There isn't anything that's tough or anything difficult. It's just real simple. It's kind of like the fact of one time we say, God, thank you for healing me.
Yes.
And Brother Bram said, you really want a blessing? He said, find somebody else that's got the same problem you got. And he says, you pray for yourself once. Direct quote, I won't give it to you. I'll let you go home and look it up. He comes back, he says, pray for that one soul. Pray for that need. And then he says, for yourself. He says, and then lift up that soul before the Lord as if there is no God. And it is totally depending upon you to see that person delivered.
Amen.
Think about that one.
Yes.
How would your prayer life change? Or do you have a prayer life to begin with?
Yeah.
It's like we get requests up here all the time. and you, somebody needs this and somebody needs that. You know what it is? Somebody needs to know how to pray. That's the simple thing. Now, I can understand my wife interceding for me because I'm dead. 23 minutes. Is anything impossible for God? Nothing. So is it just as easy for Him to meet your obligations? Anybody got needs out there that God never met?
Come on.
Come on. Is right. We stand back and we look and we say, God is able, God is able, God is able, God is able, God is able. When I got out of the hospital, I was sharing with Brother Green, I needed $100,000. And my doctor bills were over $160,000, $170,000, $180,000. And my wife, I'm with the VA hospital, and I'm a veteran from the Coast Guard. And my wife came to me shortly after I got home, and she was crying. And I said to her, I said, well, sweetheart, what's the matter? And she said, well, she says, the woman won't answer the phone at the VA hospital. I said, oh. And I said, and what else would you like to have? And she said, well, I'd like for her to tell me that everything's paid. I'm getting phone calls from bill collectors. Now, I ended up, I told her, I said, well, just come here. And I was laying on the couch. I couldn't work. And I said, Lord, I said, let the woman answer her phone. After my wife said, Lord, let the woman answer her phone. One heart, one mind, one accord. Lord, let the woman tell me everything's paid for.
Yes.
Lord, let the woman say everything's paid for. Lord, let her give Chris peace of mind. Lord, give her peace of mind. She goes and makes the phone call. I hear her talking. She comes back, big smile on her face. I said, you get a hold of her? She says, yeah. First time she's ever answered the phone, 30 phone calls. I said, what happened? She says, well, she says, she told me that the bill's already been paid.
Amen.
$180,000.
Yes.
Was paid, and she says, Mrs. Green, your husband's a veteran, and we're more than happy to pay for that bill. And just let you know that if anybody else calls you up on the phone, you give them my direct number. And here it is. And I'll take care of it personally. I want you to sleep at night.
Amen.
Now, what a mighty God.
Yes.
Is He God of your finances?
Amen.
Yeah, He is.
Yes.
You have not because you ask not, and you ask not because you don't believe you're going to get it.
Yes.
So, probably I'm standing in front of you as the biggest debtor in this church tonight. Does anybody owe more than $20 million? Close. I told you I was the biggest. I owe more money than you do. God is able to take care of that need. At the beginning of the year, when we prayed for the finances for the hospital, I said, I need $150,000. And a man walked into my home and handed me a check for $150,000. I had no idea it was coming to my home. Somebody else called up and I needed $2,575,000. And they walked in my door with a phone call and said, just come on up, the paperwork's ready, and you can sign it. And how many know that today it's hard to borrow money against raw dirt?
Yeah.
And I deal in land. And then somebody else called up and said, we've got $400,000. And it was put together in 2 days.
Amen.
He's God.
Yes.
He's Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
He provided. What's going to take place when the squeeze gets a little tighter?
Yeah.
What would you run across the street to shake a brother's hand? No, we're pushing the cart through Walmart, and we see a sister or a brother, and we run the other way.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there's brother so-and-so. There's sister so-and-so. Yeah. Lord, let me get out of here quick. Can you imagine that someday you're going to be saying, oh, dear Lord, thank you so much for letting brother come to my rescue here. Thank you, Lord, for letting sister so-and-so. Satan comes to me, and he'll tell me some really nasty things about Brother Perry. Can you believe that? Anybody ever have Satan come to you and tell you something nasty about somebody? Or you want to fix it? And here's where you start walking what you're talking about. Is I would turn around and Satan would say, Brother Green's this and that. And I'd say, Lord, just riding down the road, thank you for bringing Brother Green to my attention. Thanks for sending your messenger to me and letting him do this. And remind me that I forgot to pray for Brother Perry. And out loud, I say, Lord, bless Brother Green, bless his wife, bless his children.
Yes.
Give him the very desires of his heart.
Amen.
Bless his finances. Bless his spiritual walk with you, Lord.
Yes.
Bless him. Bless his congregation. Let the brothers and sisters bring joy to him. And guess what takes place? I ask the devil, I said, by the way, while you're here, you got anybody else that I forgot to pray for? And he has never given me two names in a row. Never. And you know what? I haven't heard from him in a long time. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You want to drive him out of your life? Just start telling him what a great piece of tool he is. Just a nothing more than a tool in the hand of Almighty God used to perfect his saints. That's what the prophet said.
Yes.
And you know what he's doing is he's cutting everything off of you that doesn't look like Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
It's like God without form poured himself into a tabernacle called Jesus.
Yes.
A body made of clay. And then all that was in Jesus he poured into the bride. And guess what? It said, anybody want to be like Jesus?
Amen.
And let me see the hands of everybody who wants to be like Jesus. And guess what you just asked for?
Yes, sir.
You just asked for two of the most comforting spirits that you could ever, 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 ever have in your life to guide you into his presence. And you know what those spirits are called? Sorrow and suffering. How many people want to be like Jesus?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, that's what you're inviting to come into your life. It said through sorrow and suffering, he learned obedience.
Right.
You want to learn obedience?
Amen.
You know, his flesh didn't go to the cross willingly. Do you know that? He did battle in the garden.
Yes.
It wasn't on the cross that the victory was won. It was won in the garden. What do you have in your life that Satan is plaguing you with? And you're sitting there saying, I don't want to give it up. I don't want to give it up. I don't want to give it up. Lord, please, don't make me give it up. And that very thing is what hinders you from being totally surrendered to God. Through sorrow and suffering, we learn obedience.
Amen.
So it's kind of like the fact of, okay, where are we at tonight? What is it that we're not willing to give up? The TV set? Ooh, don't say that. The movies? Oh, don't say that, brother. Did you know that the prophet of God said that, he said, you got just enough of the Holy Ghost not to go to the movies? Yeah, what about the ones that go? They ain't got the Holy Ghost. Oh, brother, that's not true. I can see as many movies as I want to. You go right ahead. God bless you. Just remember to pray as you're eating the popcorn, because your prayer ain't going to quite make it out through the ceiling. It's like two minister friends of mine went to see a movie one time, and the one bowed his head, and he said that, I touched the brother on the arm and said, "Brother, don't do that. He's going to pray over the popcorn." He said, "God ain't going to hear you. Look at where we're sitting at." And you think about it. And you look at it, you know, for the kids, the things of the world, the things of this life. They ask, a fellow one time went to his pastor, and he said, "Brother," he says, I'd like to learn about dying to myself." And he says, "Do you know Brother Martin that just passed away?" He says, "Yes, sir." He says, "You go over to his grave," and he says, "and for an hour, praise Brother Martin. And then," he says, "take another hour," and he says, "and curse him. And just say as much filth about that brother as you possibly can say." And he says, "Okay." So he went and he come back. And he says, "Well, did you say a bunch of good things about him?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I praised him. Told the Lord what a wonderful man." And he says, "Okay." He says, "Did you curse him?" He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Boy, I thought of some good things to curse him about. I was bringing up some of his faults and some of the things that I knew about him. And oh, my." And he says, "What did Brother Martin say when you were finished?" He said, "He didn't say nothing. He's dead." And you think about it. What is it that people say about you? And does it bother you? You're dead. When they praise you, does it bother you? You're dead. "Hey, guess what? I died. Say something good about me. Say something bad. I died." It's a growing process. And it's kind of like the fact of, I can tell you this much. And I'm going to let my wife and my daughter say a little bit here. There is nothing that will separate me from the love of God.
Amen.
There is nobody. I had a man call me serpent seed one time. And I laughed myself silly. And he said, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "You know what? I didn't even know about serpent seed until I came into this message." I said, "I've been a Christian since I was 8 years old." And I said, "It's just funny hearing someone calling me serpent seed that doesn't have a revelation of what salvation is about."
Right.
And you think about that. It's kind of like the fact God will try you in wonderful ways. And Brother Branham said, every trial you have in your life, he says, is the fact that God trusts you. And he has confidence in you that you're going to achieve these wonderful things and be an overcomer. So it's kind of like the fact of, by my testimony, Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. By my testimony, He's the God of my refrigerator. He's the God of my wallet. He's the God of my bank account. He's the God of my vehicle. He's the God of my healing. He's the God of my salvation. I couldn't sing. I couldn't talk. I couldn't do anything. The doctors said, "You're going to be brain dead." My wife said, "He's going to be fine."
Yes.
Wow. It's hard to believe myself. I stand and look in the mirror and I have no scars. Anybody got scars? He's still a healer.
Amen.
Yes. Do you have to go through a heart operation? He's still a healer.
Yes.
You're alive, aren't you?
Amen.
Think about it.
Praise the Lord.
The very fact Brother Branham said that the little sister called her husband back and said, "God wasn't finished with him yet.
Amen.
God's not through with me yet."
Amen.
It's like I said, "Lord, please show me what I can do so I can get finished. I want to go home."
Praise the Lord.
Yes. I'm going to let my wife say something. And Christy, if you'd like to.
I would just like to thank all of you once again for your prayers and your love and support through the years, and you know, the wonderful testimony of the things of God that's come forth from this place that's encouraged us all through the years, and the stand that Brother Green has made with the message and with Brother Branham, that preaching these things back for over 40, 45 years, he's stood and preached these same wonderful truths that that Brother Branham brought, and when you hear it over and over again, it is real, and it's there for when we have a need in our life, not just that we sat and heard it for many years, but that we heard it and we actually believed it, even though we didn't have an opportunity or a need that we felt like we could do what it said, but it did. It's still the truth, no matter what we would act on it, and God still is the same. And just believing that there were souls that needed to be saved, that I felt like my husband had not led to the Lord yet, that he felt like the Lord had put on his heart he would perhaps have an opportunity someday. And I just said, Lord, I don't want that part to be unfulfilled when it's all over, when we get to the other side, that I hadn't sat and heard enough sermons or prayed enough or sang enough beautiful songs or worshiped the Lord, that it was okay to go ahead and believe what he said. And it was just simple, like you pray over a meal and you believe that God's going to keep you safe with the food you eat and the need that you might have for whether healing or whatever it is that you need from God, that it's just all there and it's all in the message. And we have all these wonderful people that we've seen through the years manifest, like Sister Nadine Wirtz, and stories that we've heard, hundreds and millions of wonderful testimonies and stories from around the world. And with this church especially, we've been especially blessed because Brother Green has allowed the work of God from all over the world to be shared here and gone out and come back and forth, that others can, we're just stronger from everything we've heard and seen through the years, and just to do the simple faith of the simple things that you hear from the pulpit are just to help you in your daily life when you have a need, just like you pray over your food or you just thank the Lord that you feel good that day and that your bills are paid and that your family's all well and that your husband has organs of a 30-year-old and that he's just serving God and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord, not looking at what you see in the carnal or the physical, but what the Word says. Like Brother Branham said, you know, faith doesn't look at those other things. It just looks at what God's Word said. And when you've seen so many people manifest that and do that, it just, the Lord just says, it's okay, just do what I said and just believe it, and I'll do the same thing for you. And I just thank God that he's been so faithful and so wonderful. And thank you all once again for allowing us to share and be a part. May God richly bless all of you and meet all of your needs. Thank you, Brother Green.
Well, I just want to say it was a real comfort when Brother Green came to the hospital. That day was the day that Dad had passed, and we really didn't know it because the doctors used so many medical terms, so we really didn't realize till the next day. Somebody came in and said, it's all over the internet that Dave Green died, and I'm looking at him going, no, he's still alive, not really realizing when the doctor had come out and said that his blood pressure was down to zero, you know, that he had passed on. And Mom just kept smiling at him, saying, well, I don't care what you say, we believe in prayer, no, that's okay, no, thank you. You know, we all were just standing there. We didn't realize that he, you know, wasn't alive. And finally, the doctor just said, okay, we'll just keep him on the life support, knowing the doctor tells us that he was already passed on. And they just had him in the room. They were hoping that we would just say, okay. And then he'd come out in a few minutes, he said, and tell us that he had, you know, it was over. He said in about an hour he would have been gone to tell the family, because we're all just smiling and so happy there with such expressions of joy and things. The daughters that I just, all of you are smiling. And he said, plus, I think Sister Green and them were there. There was probably at least 60 people just laying on the floors, and the hallways were so filled with people that Mom, the doctor, came out with a grievance counselor, and they said, well, we need to talk to the family. And Mom said, well, you're looking at them. And he said, no, I want just the family. And Mom said, anything you have to say, you can say it to everyone that's here. So it was like the doctor didn't feel privileged to say that he had passed on. But it's just wonderful to see how Brother Green told us girls, he said, you guys just go home and rest. He said, your dad's going to be fine. He said, just go home and sleep and don't worry about it, because we were all doing different shifts. And just to see how God came on the scene and did honor the prayers. And I thought it was real neat. Mom had taken a suit down on Sunday for Dad, trying to show the doctors that, you know, she said, girls, he's going to come out of that bed. She said, I'm taking a suit down there with all the everything. She took the tie tack, every single item down there to the hospital. And she's laid it there on the chair. And even though he was there when he got healed, raised from the dead, and Sunday they took the tube out. I remember Sister Green coming and held his hand, and she's saying, look for me, for I will be there too. And someone, probably 55 people came in that day to see him. And I think he went home maybe on that following weekend. So, and it was a long process too. Like, people see him and he was weak and things, and we would see him every day at home. And for him, he would have to tell himself, he would get up to go like to the bathroom or something. He could hardly walk. Even though God had done all that he'd done in the physical part, his body was very weak. And he would have to say, you know what, I can walk. And he would start reminding himself, and he would change the way that he walked. He's like, I'm not sick. And he'd get up and he'd start changing the way he walked around the house. But it's something quickened to him that I don't have to take this. Maybe one of these days it'll quicken us. We don't have to take this.
Right.
We are children of God.
Amen.
And I do want to say in particular, there's a store in town called AJ's Fine Foods, and it's up on Oracle and or Skyline and Campbell. And the people there have just been a real blessing to us. We've given out so many testimonies there, CDs of what God has done for Dad. But what really touched me was when the management, everybody bought hearts and they for $1, and they put Dad's name all over the windows with the little hearts on them that God had healed him.
Amen.
And just to see the testimonies and the things I went to Harmony in the desert last year, and I had someone come up that I didn't even know who they were, and they had tears running down their face, and they said, you guys had come to our church, you gave a little testimony. We took the CD to, sent it on to a loved one. Their family has not been serving the Lord now for 2 years. They got down in their home and received the Lord and come back to church.
Amen.
So just to hear the things that God is doing after the fact has been just such a tremendous comfort and a blessing to us. And that's basically all I have to say.
Morgan, come here for a moment. Do you remember what took place Sunday morning when Grandma asked you if you wanted to see a miracle? You remember?
Yes.
You remember? You do?
Yes.
Would you like to share what took place?
Sure. Well, it was Sunday, and I was real tired in the morning, and I woke up, and we went to the hospital, and my grandma was there, and we went out to her car, all of us, and my cousin Matt was there, and she put on tape and was talking about to speak the word, and she pointed to my grandpa's room, and we all put our hands where the room was, and we spoke that he was going to get out of the bed, and that they were going to remove the tube from him. And so, I think an hour later, she goes back to the doctors, and they say that they're going to remove the tube and that he's going to be sitting up talking.
Amen.
And that was it.
All my grandkids, the oldest ones, the four of them, got to participate in that. And Chris asked him, she says, would you like to see a miracle this morning? And Gregory had a dream that I was going to be at Thanksgiving hugging people's necks and greeting them. And it came to pass.
Amen.
And it's a thing to where you have not because you ask not.
Right. Yes.
I don't know how many of you out there, I know that if you're like me, that there are times that you just fight the battle, and it just seems like you're just beating the air. And then you get a hold of God, and you let your prayer life kind of slide off, and it falls off completely. And Brother Wiggins used to sing that little song, Why Do You Cut Your Hair, Girls? And he made a statement. He says, little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Much prayer, much power. Remember that?
Yes.
That's true.
Amen.
You want to have a walk with God? Get a good prayer life.
Yes, amen.
And you'll be like Enoch. One day you just get so carried away you forget to come back. Let's do the love of God. You can sing this. Wrong one.
The love of God, oh, is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to and pardon from his sin. O love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever saints the angels song. Could he with thee the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, if every
man, every stalk on earth will, and every man a scribe by trade,
to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound
that saved a wretch like you, saved one like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see.
Thank you, Brother David. God bless you. Well, I hope we're stronger by the words of the testimony. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother Dave asked about the $20 million in debt. I wasn't counting my part of the national debt. I think it's pretty well close to that for all of us now, isn't it? Did anybody calculate it lately, you know? So it's not personal debt, because the biggest debt I owed, he paid it.
Amen.
In full. I'm happy to say to you that I haven't lost any money in the stock market. My retirement fund is not down any because I didn't have one, but it's, my retirement is out of this world. The song that he just sang, I had read a quote before I came in here tonight that I think Brother John had handed it to me this morning or something sometime, and Brother Brown was talking about where the different songs came from. And he said that the words of that song was found on the walls of an insane institution. I had heard that before, but I had forgotten it. But you think about it, folks, the love of God, how great, how pure. And the world declared that person insane. And I will tell you now that the more you become like Jesus Christ, the more people will think you are insane. How many of you want to appear to be insane by the world? I'm sure that my grandfather, if he was alive today, he'd look at some of these things where you do today and he'd say those people are crazy. I mean, like if you go one of these clover leaf exchanges, he'd never drive his mule all the way around to get off the freeway. He'd just say, you're stupid. I'm sorry. This is the shortest way right here down this road here, but it does. But there was another quote in that batch that I got today that has been with me today, and I'd like to just share that thought with you before I dismiss you tonight. You know, sometimes when things do get hard and difficult, it helps when we can be reminded that God's still in charge.
Yes, amen.
I received a letter this afternoon. I guess it came in the mail this week, but it was from a family up in Edmonton. And there's a young man, his wife, and four children that sent me a photograph. And they're dressed up like old timers, ancient, go, you know, and the kids look like, you know, they were in an Amish buggy and so forth. But I've known this father since he was a little boy. And in fact, I remember from the first time I went up to Edmonton because he played a violin. And I remembered what a wonderful little testimony he had with his brother, and they played those violins. And he's married now, and I think their oldest child is 9 years old. And they've moved away, and they're about 3 hours away from Edmonton, and they drive into church. And so they got a van this past year, and in the van it has nice speakers and CDs and so forth that they can play, the players. And so they've accumulated a collection of these things that they can listen to. And they hear Brother Bram's CDs. Well, they discovered my two sets of CDs where I gave my five-hour testimony up at to Cloverdale. And then they also discovered the one from that I gave over at Brother Donnie Reagan's, but Happy Valley. And they were telling me that these are their children's, their favorite tapes or CDs. And the first time that they put one in, well, you know, they had a three-hour drive, and the thing was 5 hours long, so they happened to be listening to it on the way back home. And their oldest, when they got there, didn't want to get out of the van. Wanted to stay in the van until they finished the CD. And they were telling me what it had meant to the children to hear the testimony. And they said that the funny event around their house is to tell the story of me and the cat at the cabin hunting up at British Columbia. And said there's times when one of the boys will come charging in the house with a make-believe pistol and say, we're going to have church. Imitating me from things that I had there, you know. And they were telling me how much the testimony had meant to their children, even the three-year-olds. That the things that you know, and folks, I want you to know, I thank God for giving us a testimony that because it's real.
Amen.
And when I hear Chris say the nice things she does and Dave get up here, Dave always forgets to read the list I give him, though. I always give him a list of nice things to say, and he always leaves off one page or two, you know. It's all right. The Green family loves me, and I love them, but I think we're honored tonight, really, I say that sincerely, to have Brother Dave and his family come tonight.
Amen.
Regardless of what you hear or heard, but how many people in this world had an opportunity tonight to sit and hear a testimony where somebody had died and their family believed God was able to raise them from the dead?
Right.
And not only for an hour or two or a day or two, but to restore them to good enough health that they're able to live that year, recover, still conduct some of their business activities, and even in these hard times, still testify that God hears and answers prayer.
Yeah.
And come here tonight and still give God the glory for touching their body.
Okay.
We have these living witnesses among us, you know. Not everybody's able to hear that. But the story that I wanted to tell you, and I said in closing, you know, it's like the brother said tonight, when a preacher says he's closing, it doesn't mean a thing. That in fact, that's a literal interpretation of it. But I didn't say that, but I said for the last thing. This one was an experience Brother Branham had where he was somewhere and he must have been camping because there was a little songbird that was in the bush. How many of you can remember this story now? Well, see, it's good that I can remind you of it then. And Brother Branham said, this bird was just singing away. And it was dark. You couldn't see anything around you. And Brother Branham got to thinking, what's he singing about? What's he making so much noise about? And Brother Branham began to observe, and somehow or another it brought to his attention that the little bird could see the stars. And that Brother Branham said that bird reminded him that in the midst of all the darkness, he could see the stars, so the sun was still shining somewhere. You know, most they sing when the sun comes up, but that little bird was spiritual enough and had brain big enough to see that, hey, that star is shining, so there's the sun somewhere.
Amen.
And so the lesson from that is that regardless of how dark it may seem,
right. Amen.
You look around somewhere and you'll see the star shining.
Yeah.
You may see it in somebody else's life or testimony or something. And when you do that, you don't need to have the great waves of glory that God's able to give, or even a great pillar of fire. If you can just see a little flicker of a star,
yes.
You know there's a God somewhere.
Amen,
amen to that?
Amen.
And the sun still shines. How many of you right now believe that if you live, you're going to see the sun come up in the morning?
Amen.
You know, now, as I said to you this morning, as long as that sun comes up, and that moon shines tonight when you go out there, and I think it's almost full moon now, you can look, and that moon is testimony that sun's shining on the other side.
That's right.
Amen.
Because that's just a testimony that reflects that. Now, you know that when it revolves around, that sun's going to come up. And God says, as long as that happens, he's going to take care of Israel. Now then, why then should we doubt and worry about what they feel, who they do, what the political situation is going to be? I ask you like Joshua asked him, has God failed to do one single thing that he promised you he's going to do?
No, sir. Amen.
But it's the sanctified truth. Whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. You cannot serve God. For he's a holy God, unless you're going to give up the world. Otherwise, all this just is so much gobbledygook to you. But if you truly want to serve God, he's a God to be served. And he is a faithful God. Let's stand and sing How Great Is Our God tonight. How great is our God. How great is his word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters
of the mighty Red Sea and said, I will believe you, but you trust in me.
I wish I was a songwriter. I'd say, he raised Dave Green. How many of you believe that? How great is our God? How great is his word? He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He raised a bridge from the depths of death. Put your trust in me. I believe that God tonight, don't you?
Yes.
I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done. Even as he said, trust and obey. Look
cup and say, can you say it again? I believe God. I believe God. It shall be done. Even as he said, trust and obey. Look up and say, I believe God. Have no reason to doubt him. Brother Johnson is going to get another touch. Amen. The glad wills have been touched by the Lord. Amen. We've all heard the words of a testimony of truth tonight, and we believe it.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. As he did for the men of old, so is he doing for us today. And if we can believe it and will believe it, there will be a book of Acts written behind this for generations to come, or for people to come after us, whatever there has been. I'm just so glad tonight to be one of his, aren't you?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you so much. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father,
I appreciate you.
God bless you. You're dismissed.
I love you. I adore you.